This is Doc Mike, host of Right on the Left Coast podcast. This is a podcast about homestead living at the Ravenwood Homestead here in Oregon. We share our experiences and discuss topics that may affect living the homestead lifestyle. All right, here we go. This is Doc Mike. Thanks for joining me, not live tonight on Real Liberty Media. We are only doing the Rumble live stream. We'll see how it goes. I don't know. You know, I just don't know if I have enough pipe coming into this house to do a live stream, but I'm trying it tonight and not also live streaming on Real Liberty Media, just so I can see if that'll make a little difference or not. You know, we're just going to see. This is Right on the Left Coast podcast. It is a podcast about the Ravenwood Homestead and everything that we do here to try and live as freely as you can live in any country in the world, but especially here in the United States. We're giving it a go. And this is Memorial Day weekend. I'll get into that a little bit in a second. I just want to say I'm just a guy shining some light in the darkness. That's it. There is no more news to speak of. You don't hear news anymore. You only hear propaganda. People are looking for a new way to get information, and they're doing that by coming to, you know, other creators, you know, listening to other people. We're just doing something simple here, just for fun. Getting older, finding stuff to put in my time slots here, finding ways to spend a little time, I should say. Hey, tomorrow and every Sunday, Hal Anthony has the Behind the Woodshed podcast. He does 2 full hours of information, a ton of information. He gets it done. It's incredible. He doesn't take a break. That guy, he truly does get a lot of information out. He's a great thinker. It'll make you think about stuff, for sure. Give him a listen every Sunday, especially tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Hal Anthony Behind the Woodshed. We love his show. I love his show here. So what's going on here? First of all, let's take a little look at this, and I'm going to close that, and I'll tell you why. Because every little bit of streaming, hey, let's see what's going on here. We ought to just look at this. Oh, no, because it'll come into my ears. So here's a little history on Memorial Day. I thought I'd just put this up just in case, you know, you're not familiar with what's going on. This is Memorial Day weekend. We have a family gathering every year on Memorial Day weekend. It's kind of, there's a federal holiday on Monday, but we kind of do things on the Sunday so everybody can kind of have their day off on Monday and do whatever they want. So we're having a big grilling session tomorrow. We're doing some ribs. We're doing beef ribs and pork ribs. We're going to have other stuff. People are bringing, you know, it's always kind of one of those things where people bring food and it'll be a good time. Rochelle's cooking, baking a cake right now, so that's awesome. I got to clean the grill when we're done here, so it's ready to go tomorrow. I mean, when I say clean the grill, that's a whole different story. Like, you clean the grill every time you use it, but there are times when you really break it down and clean it. Like, about every 3 to 5 times I use the grill, I have to really, like, tear it down and clean it so it keeps working right. It's kind of like the routine maintenance, you know, preventative maintenance schedule on the grill. Anyway, well, let me tell you this, though. So I was put in charge of making ice. And I know that sounds a little strange, but we have one of these little machines that makes ice. Like, it's not in the refrigerator. It's not an ice maker in the refrigerator. It's literally a standalone machine that makes ice. Now, I don't know. Like, I don't think I've ever worked, well, that's not true. Of course, I've worked somewhere where they had an ice machine, but These are little kind of like family ice making machines. And the craziest thing, like I'd never used it before. I mean, I knew it was being used here on occasion, usually in the summertime. But I was never kind of put in charge of of making ice. Because I'm running a test, I just want to check something here. Hang on. Okay, back to it. Anyway, this little machine, you know, you can just buy them. I don't know. They're probably $100 or 50, 100. I don't know how much they are. It doesn't seem to me like it was a tremendous expense for this machine. But let me tell you just how fast this thing makes ice. Like, so I poured in probably, so in for 1 gallon, I use distilled water. For a gallon of distilled water, it'll fill that thing 3 times and it'll put out like, I don't know, 2 trays, 3 trays of ice. And by trays of ice, I mean, it's like, it's probably like 48 ounces of ice in volume. That doesn't seem right to me, like doing the math, like how much water I put in, how much ice I get out. But I mean, they're just little tiny cubes. But here's the deal. It makes it so fast. Like literally, if you were thinking right now, I need some ice for this drink right here. You could just go out there and start that machine, put some water in it, and in 10 minutes, I don't know, 15 minutes, it would make like 8, 10, 12 cubes or something like that. It's like incredibly fast. So I started first thing this morning. And that thing has been cranking out ice all day long. And it just keeps cranking out ice. I go out, fill up the water reservoir, dump the ice in a giant bag. The ice is to keep all the drinks cool. So it's going in a big tub with, you know, canned soda and beer and whoever, you know, who knows what else. But it's amazing how fast that thing makes ice. And I can imagine, like you talk about efficiency, like not wasting electricity and stuff. Man, that thing has got to be pretty damn efficient, how fast it makes ice and then how much ice it makes in such a short period of time. And you're not using your big refrigerator or whatever it is to freeze water. Anyway, it's pretty impressive. So if you want to look into those, I don't know what brand this is. I figure probably it's, you know, made in China, pretty typical. Hey, speaking of that, a friend shared with me this week. Let me see if I can find this here. Oh yeah, here it is. There's this. Now, I'm not a fan of Chrome. I don't know why. I guess because it's Google, you know, and I don't trust. Actually, I don't know who you can trust anymore. I don't think you can trust anybody anymore, honestly. I mean, all your information is going to be taken one way or another. You know, if you're on the internet, there's just no choice. You're just, you know, you can do as much as you can to protect yourself, but still, every time you use one of these apps or add-ons or whatever, I can guarantee you they're taking information, using it for something, because that's how they stay alive. But anyway, this app is pretty cool because it will tell you if you click on an Amazon product, it'll tell you if that product is made in the United States or made somewhere else. And if it's made somewhere else, it'll give you alternatives in the United States where you can, you know, alternatives that are sold in the United States and made in the United States. But here's a problem. It's not a big problem because they already have a thing to take care of it. But let's say you wanted to buy this ice machine and you use this Cultivate, which is the app or add-on extension for Chrome. And it says, well, that product's made in China, but here's 85 other, options you have, to buy from, you know, buy in the United States or buy from American companies. Well, then you click on that company and you look at who owns that company and it'll tell you, the seller is in California, but the owner is in China. or something like that. So you can actually drill down until you find an option that's satisfactory to you. You know, seller is in the United States and the owner is in the United States and a product is made in the United States. If you're feeling patriotic and you want to support local businesses, you know, and I'm one of those guys, like I support the local coffee shop, even though I don't need that much coffee or drinks, you know, whatever it is I'm drinking, but I want to help them stay in business and help local people stay employed, especially people who are trying, man. They're making a business go. And I really admire that. Local, you know, our town has like 5,000 people and half of them are in the federal prison. So it's kind of cool to be helping out the 2,500 to 3,000 others, you know, in whatever way. Like, I don't need a haircut, obviously, so I'm not going to the, you know, well, we don't have a barber, but we have somebody who cuts hair, a woman, you know, so I don't know what you call that. That's funny. I don't even know what you call it. A hairdresser. Yeah, a hairdresser. Oh, gosh, you guys. Man, it's been busy around here. I just wanted to tell you, it has been crazy busy around here. Let me see. Did I cover all the... Yeah, I did cover that. Okay, so let's go back to Memorial Day while we're waiting. Or maybe let's see how we're doing here. 2.1% frame drops in... What have we been on? 11, 12 minutes. Hey, not bad. I'll go back and listen to audio. So this is what I'm going to do before I move on. I'm doing the live stream on Rumble. There's a chat room on there, which I'm not looking at. Okay, I really should, but I'm not going to right now. I just want to do this test tonight, and then I will do something else later, next time. But, what was I going to say? Jesus. I know I was talking about how busy we are. Oh, no, this is what I'm going to do. So I'm going to do the show on Rumble. I'm going to upload the recording because there won't be anything wrong with the recording. Let's see, am I recording? I am recording. And the mic is on, so everything is going where it should go. It's just that when you go live, sometimes there's some buffering or there's some skipped frames, and sometimes my audio will be jacked up live. But in the recording, because it's recording right here on my system, and my CPU right now is only using 4.8%, so it's not being overworked at all, the recording will be fine. So I'll upload the recording. That'll be nice and clean. I'll upload the audio to Real Liberty Media and to Buzzsprout, where it gets distributed over some other sites who will have me, because a lot of times, you know, these censoring podcast feeders don't like to hear people speak freely. And sometimes we say stuff on this show that they're opposed to, and that's okay. I mean, they have the right to do that. That's fine. I don't even care. People who want to hear the truth will listen, and, you know, people will find the truth somewhere else if they don't find it here. Oh, my eyes itch. I'm going to tell you guys, this is the craziest thing. The night before last, Rochelle and I were sitting out in the hot tub, and it wasn't quite dark yet. It was in the evening. And there's a clover field, a white clover field that's got to be, let's say it's 10 miles away. But we can see it because it's in the valley and we're up here on the hill. And we were watching that field and the lighting was just right. The sun was kind of setting and, you know, so there wasn't sun in our eyes or anything. And that field was just belching out pollen. Because it's a totally white field. It's white clover. So the whole field is bright white, except it had this yellow haze to it. And you could see this cloud coming off that clover and just slowly drifting our way. Like from 10 miles away, it was like watching a fog kind of creep across the valley. And you knew it was going to come and get you at some point. And, yeah, it was horrible. And we're just waiting for the grasses now to start. Because, you know, the Willamette Valley, they grow a lot of grass seed. There was a farmer I was watching. So speaking of clover, there was this field that I didn't really know what it was. It's on the highway, so I didn't really want to stop and go check it out. But a guy came into my clinic, and he's a farmer, and he was telling me he was putting up hay and stuff. And I go, hey, by the way, I go, you go to McMinnville a lot, because he lives in McMinnville. And I said, what is that field that they just cut? And I said, they immediately packaged it up. It was on a truck. It wasn't baled or anything. I go, they were literally just sucking it up and blowing it in a truck. I go, what was that field? And he said, that was crimson clover. And I go, well, I didn't see any clover flowers. And he goes, no. He goes, that one's for seed. So he said, they cut it before it seeds, and then they just feed it to animals. So they'll sell it to feedlots or whatever, because it's just greenery. They didn't cut any flowers or anything, and somehow it makes the seed better, you know, produce more seed, or God, I don't know what. But it was kind of interesting to get an answer to my question, because I see that stuff grow all the time, and I don't know why I haven't recognized that, you know, clover. And because, you know, here's the problem. Like, a lot of crops grow, and you know, when they get to a certain size, you go, oh, that's soybean, or oh, that's rye, or oh, that's wheat, or oh, that's corn. I mean, corn's pretty obvious to see right away. But some stuff, it's just a patch of green, and you can't really tell without getting out and looking at the leaves. Or at least coming to complete stop, because when you're doing 55, 60 down the highway, it's just a green blur. You know, I don't care how quickly you try and turn your head to catch the size of the leaf and, you know, what it looks like and all that. It's hard to identify some stuff. But so that was kind of cool to get the answer to what that was. And to know, you know, the kind of the process now. So now I'll just watch that field. It'll grow into crimson clover. It'll flower and it'll seed, and then I'll harvest the seed because it's for seed. Oh, speaking of that, I do have a story here. Let me go find it real quick. Since we're talking about agricultural stuff, let me just see if I can find this. Making a killing. Oh man, I do have some stuff to talk about. This is kind of crazy and not so good. I didn't even get through all of my intro. High levels of pesticide residues in bee products pose risk to consumers. Now, I know this is probably no surprise to any of us. Maybe. But because the bees are out there, hell, we have now 8 boxes of bees up here on our property, and they already made a ton of honey. I don't know when he's going to pull it out, but you know, they were busy because everything just blossomed, boom, at once. You know, but here's the problem. All of the pesticides that are being used on all these crops, because we've had to change the way that we farm and produce food, because there's, you know, supposedly so many people in the world, and we're kind of falsely supporting that population by, you know, artificially producing food that shouldn't really grow in soil that's depleted in nutrients, but we just add nutrients to it. We add weed killer, we add pesticides. Well, the bees are handling all that stuff all the time, and they're showing, you know, higher levels. And look at this stuff. What is this? This is like honeycomb. I'm not sure what that is. That's bee pollen. I'm not sure what that is, and more honeycomb. Here, let's see. It says right here. Or it probably says in my notes. Products such as bee bread, propolis, beeswax, and royal jelly are said to have health and medical benefits. However, a wide range of pesticide residues may accumulate in these products in concentrations high enough to pose a potential health risk. It says, however, a wide range of pesticide residues, and it lists them all. Dare I try to pronounce them? Tau fluvalinate, coumaphos, chlorfenvenfos, chlorvrifos, ametraz, and especially acaricides for killing ticks and mites and hives may accumulate in beehive products up to concentrations that pose a potential health risk. Now, I would say this. Honestly, how many people do you know, honestly, that eat honey or bee products? I mean, there may be some in some of the products that people use daily, like maybe there's honey in Honey Nut Cheerios, which I'm sure some kids eat. But, hey, this is weird. Why does my, I'm distracted so easily. Look at that. And that's yellow, not green. Crazy. Yeah, forgive me. Sparkly things distract me so easily. So what was I saying? Anyway, so, I mean, if you think of how many people you know who actually eat honey or bee products, you know, maybe, you know, this isn't a tremendous health concern. I know it sounds like blasphemy. I'm sure it is a health concern, especially for those of us who actually consume bee products daily if we can. But, like, it doesn't seem like it's going to be a worldwide health problem for humans because, you know, some people look at honey and they're just like, oh, that's too expensive. I'm not going to buy it, especially if you go, you know, even the local farm stores. Like, I don't know how it is where you are, but it's like they mark up honey because it is local. And I don't blame them because that's why I want local honey. And I want local, like, right here off of my property. Now, I know bees will travel, like, 3 miles from their hive, from their bee box, or whatever you want to call it. So it's not local, like the bees don't just stay on my property. But for the most part, you know, the bees are gathering stuff within a 3 mile radius from their hive, which that's where I live, within a 3 mile radius of their hive. So all of this stuff around here, you know, the bees are gathering up and, you know, it's just supposed to help with like allergies and stuff like that. So that's why we like to have really local honey and we're willing to pay for it, and, you know, produce it right here locally. So, but it is a big problem, man, because I'll bet this same problem, you know, is probably causing the issues with bees dying. The bee guy who has bees on my property right now, he said he put 1,400 boxes, sent 1,400 boxes to California, and only 476 of them survived. Now, that wasn't just because of hive death, like you hear all the time that beehives are dying like crazy. It was because the weather was so frickin' horrible in California this year with all the snow and all the rain, flooding. I mean, boxes got just flooded out, you know, and some of those, I mean, those, if the bees stayed in there, they died. And if they took off, well, they're gone. You know, they had to look for a better place to live because theirs was getting flooded or snowed upon, you know, feet of snow on them or whatever. But definitely, you know, this is an issue. Now, you've probably heard me talk before about cornerstone species, and everybody talks about when the bees are gone, that's it for us. And I just don't believe that because there are many other pollinators, and the world has continued through cycles like this for eons. And it would suck for bees to disappear. I mean, well, one is there is a bajillion different species of bees. Okay, that's an exaggeration. There's a bunch of different species of bees that pollinate. Yeah, honey bees are probably our favorite because they produce honey, and they are probably the most populous pollinating bee out there. But unless it just happens so suddenly that they all disappeared, like tomorrow, and probably even then, we'd probably still survive. You know, it's always the crazy hair on fire argument that, you know, we're all going to die instantly if one of these cornerstone species disappears. And I can pretty much guarantee you that every cornerstone species that's existed in the past, who knows how many hundreds of thousands or millions of years, they've died and the planet has continued to go on. So, being a real scientist, you know, I mean, that's questionable, but I do have a degree in biology, a BA, Bachelor of Arts in Biology. The facts are the facts. So bees haven't been the cornerstone species for in the entire history of the Earth. Some other species was a cornerstone species. And when it went extinct, well, something else stepped in and something else after that. Until finally we get to the point where now bees are the cornerstone species. But you know, I mean, I look out in my yard and if you watch the video that the preload video, Rumble has you upload a 90-second or, no, 120-second video. Well, it can't be over 120-second video. It's the space holder video. So before you go live, they play that video on your site, on the link. If you notice on that video, I have the drone fly through, you know, part of our landscape area, and then there's aerial view. You can see the garden and you can see the woods around the property and all that stuff. There's plenty of stuff for them to eat, and when I sit out there and watch, I see bumblebees, I see mason bees, I see hornets, I see butterflies, I see hummingbirds. All of those critters are pollinating. When they move from flower to flower, they're all pollinating. Yeah, there's a tremendously higher number of honeybees because we have, you know, 8 boxes of honeybees in the north pasture. You can actually see it on the video. If you look in that wide open space to the north, which you'll just have to figure out, it's the big green field, and you can see the white boxes sitting way up there, far away from the camera, but still, you can see them. They're pretty clear. I mean, there's 8 of them. You can't miss them. 2 big patches of white. Probably looks like 1 big patch of white on the drone video. But man, I got to tell you guys, I have been having so much fun lately. Let's just take a look. I really, you got to see this. This is crazy. It'll take me just a second. In fact, I'm going to transition off me for a minute. I just want to bring up this link, but I don't want you to see all the crap that goes with it before I bring it up. So let's see. I've been having so much fun lately. I'm not kidding. I'm maximizing my fun, which I think is good. You know, I think now is the time. Let's just look. Where is the forecast? Come on, peeps. Oh, here it is. No, I don't want the video. Let's just, because we don't want to listen to anybody. We don't want to listen to anybody talk, for God's sakes. Including me. 7-day forecast. Okay. Now we're on to something. Oh, yes. We're on. Okay. I'm going to bring this back live. Wait, oh, I probably shouldn't have done that. I probably should do this. Yeah, transition. And I'm going to bring this up a bit. Oh, yeah, look at this. Look at this freaking, this was our forecast for Memorial Day weekend. Now, yesterday, let me try and think, was it warmer or cooler? Oh, yeah, it was warmer yesterday. Oh, yeah, it was like 80-something degrees yesterday. It was like 83. And it was beautiful, sunshine, blue sky, clear. It was so awesome. In fact, I went out and did some mowing and stuff in the morning early because I wanted to get stuff done before it got hot. And then when it got hot, I kind of kicked it, watched a game in the little covered area outside. But look at this. It's like 73, 75, 78, 70, the whole week, you know, through next Friday is looking like that. And overnight lows in the upper 40s to 50. It's so perfect for sleeping and for playing and for getting work done. It has just been awesome. So tomorrow, of course, Sunday, 75 for a high, mostly sunny, no rain. It's just going to be a beautiful day. Like, honestly, all these days, man, you just can get outside, do some stuff, go inside, do some stuff, take time to play, take time to watch a game or watch a race. That, let me tell you a little bit about tradition, because we traditionally do Memorial Day things with the family. But I have never in my life missed an Indy 500. And if you've watched other Memorial Day weekend shows, you've heard me say this before. I've never missed an Indianapolis 500. And I'm not a crazy, like, IndyCar fan, but I've never missed an Indianapolis 500. Now, one thing is, you got to imagine, in 65 years, like, IndyCars, they may have had races on TV, but they really, the only one that anybody ever really watched and the one that they promoted was the Indy 500. And as IndyCars have grown and that whole sport has grown, yeah, they might have some other IndyCar races on. I never see them. I don't know if they're on, you know, one of the broadcast channels or if they're on one of the sports channels or what, but the Indy 500 is always on one of the main broadcast channels, and, you know, it's a deal. So tomorrow morning, bright and early, I think 9 o'clock in the morning, they start racing. They'll do the whole, you know, there's a bunch of pageantry that goes with the Indy 500. Of course, it's just like the Kentucky Derby, for crying out loud, with all the pre-race kind of, you know, hype and getting everybody fired up and everything, and history, and, you know, they'll talk about all the drive. It's a whole thing, man. But anyway, that's where I'll be tomorrow. And hopefully Hal's show gets launched on time. I'm kidding. Of course it will be. I haven't even actually checked to see if he's got a show ready to go yet, but I'm sure he does. He always does, you know. But anyway, so here's the deal. So tomorrow there's the Indy 500 race, which I'll be watching. There's a Brewers game, which I'll probably be watching. And then there's a NASCAR race. And this NASCAR race happens to be one of the, I think it's the only time during the year that they race 600 miles. Can you imagine that? Like 600 freaking miles. And I mean, to say in one day is kind of like crazy. So just think about this. So the Indianapolis 500 is 500 miles. That'll be in the morning. And then the, I don't know, Charlotte something, whatever, 600 miles. I think it's a Coca-Cola. Here, let's just look for fun, shall we? Let's go to NASCAR. And let's look at the schedule and the Cup Series. The next race is Sunday, May 28th at 3 p.m. Eastern, which is 12 o'clock our time. It is the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. 600 miles. So the Indy 500 will probably finish right about noon. And the Coca-Cola 600 will kick off right about noon. So there'll be like, let me guess, I'm just going to roughly say there'll be 7 hours of racing tomorrow. With some grilled ribs, some potato salad, some, who knows, 7-layer dip, some, I don't know, chicken wing, who knows what all we're going to have. But we're going to have, we're going to be having a feast. And that gigantic TV outside is going to be on, you know, streaming some racing all day long. And then maybe the Brewers game, because I don't know what time the Brewers game is on, but no, I'm not going to go look. Let's move on here. Where are we? 34 minutes into the show. That's awesome. And let's just double check how we're doing. We've lost 2.6% dropped frames. That's really, I mean, that's not bad. My CPU is 4% still. You know, who knows? It's going to be okay. I just think, I was just thinking, like, trying to stream the audio to Real Liberty Media and the video and audio to Rumble at the same time probably was too much for the pipe I have coming in here. And trust me, I could have the bigger pipe here. No question, I could call Tuesday and say, hey, local company, yes, I know you have fiber running right up my road. Just plug it into my house and I'll be good to go. But I hate that company because they service, you know, the office I work at downtown, 3 miles away. And let me tell you a couple things about this. Like, number one, it's not reliable. Well, I mean, it's probably reliable up to some, you know, gold standard, like, you know, well, we're up 99.3% of the time. Well, let me tell you, the other 0.7% of the time, especially if you're a dentist and everything, or medical office, and every single thing you do is connected to the internet, like your access to, you know, medical reports, to digital radiographs, to, you know, health histories, all that stuff. Well, guess what? When that, whatever percent of the time you're not freaking working, I'm not either. And patients aren't able to be seen because even though I might look at a tooth, I'm a dentist, so I look at teeth. Even though I might look at a tooth, you know, in somebody's mouth and go, that looks like a little tiny cavity. I'll just go ahead and fill that. If anything went wrong, like any tiny thing went wrong, and that patient complained to the dental board, and the dental board came back and looked at my notes and saw that, well, we didn't have access to digital records on that day because the internet was down, but I went ahead and treated a patient anyway. And this is a problem with, you know, modern society and lawyers being involved and all the freaking paperwork that you have to do these days to do any little bit of work in the medical field, and I'm sure other fields too. Yeah, they would bust my ass for actually doing work without, number one, a dental record, a medical history, and digital x-ray that I could look at and see, well, how big is that cavity? I know it sounds stupid because, honest to God, back when I was getting out of dental school, yeah, you would probably just be, you could look at a cavity and go, look, you got a cavity. I don't know how big it is. You may end up needing a root canal. It may be the smallest cavity I've ever filled. I don't know, but you got one. And then because, you know, you're like, oh, I'll save you the money. I won't take an x-ray. We just took x-rays, you know, a year ago. You don't need another x-ray. I'm just telling you a little history about how things used to be in dentistry and how they are now. You know, I'm not kidding. There was so much paperwork during COVID. No kidding. I can guarantee you, look, I waved my arms around so much, my Fitbit thinks I got a lot of steps in. I can tell you 100% that I forgot what I was going to say. Lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. There was so much paperwork during COVID that I think probably some doctors, dentists quit because of it. It was just like, I'm not kidding. Like every single patient, before I could see him, I probably had to sign about 5 different forms in order to proceed. Or, I mean, by the end of the day, those forms had to be signed. So I would just sign them, you know, ahead of time before I got started so I didn't forget. And so at the end of the day, I didn't have a stack of freaking forms sitting on my desk. Doc, you didn't sign this, you didn't sign this, you didn't sign this. So, yeah, I took care of it. But I can tell you, you know, I'm sure that's why there's kind of a shortage of dentists actually practicing in the field right now. It's because they're just like, yeah, done with it. You know, some people, you get to a point, man, and you're just like, yeah, no thanks. Nope, I'll just go welcome people to Walmart. Although, yeah, you probably don't want to do that either, especially if you're a dentist. Dentists seem to be a little more conservative, so they're probably not into that whole whatever Walmart and Target and Bud Light is doing. There's something else I can't believe. And somebody else and I were talking about this, that this week is like, okay. And I'm going to give you my own personal kind of experience this week. Okay. I know Bud Light had a thing and they lost billions of dollars and 15 to 25% of their market share. And some people say, oh, you know, I follow stocks. I buy them all the time. I've seen stuff go up and down 15, 20% all the time. It's no big deal. It's kind of a big deal. Oh, and I noticed Bud Light and Harley Davidson teamed up together to try and, you know, try and stop the bleeding, so to speak. And I'm kind of afraid that it's not really going to stop the bleeding. What did I stop on here? What the hell is going on? Oh gosh, yeah. Let's go back to this one. I don't want to expose you guys to that. It's horrible. but sorry, didn't mute the mic. So here's the deal. So Bud Light lost a bunch of money. Then Target, you know, they had the same kind of backlash from something that they did. And I kind of see these stories, but I'm trying to not expose myself to so much of that stuff. I want to stay informed, mostly on things that really are going to affect how we live. Oh man, I got something to tell you about how we live too. I don't know if I'm going to get to that today though, but, some big changes coming to the homestead. But anyway, so Bud Light and Target both tried something and there was big backlash and they both have lost significant amounts of the market share or significant value to their stock, right? And I mean, that's what business is about. It's about returning value to your stockholders. Otherwise, your stockholders are going to be like, hey, yeah, I don't like this stock anymore. It lost, you know, we already have lost, I don't know how much. I pulled all my money out of the market last year. So I don't have any 401k going on right now. I'm buying silver because at least I know what it's going to do and it's tangible. I can hold it. I can, you know, whatever. But, you know, so people aren't going to invest in the company. People aren't going to buy stock. Well, yeah, I guess when it goes down far enough, they'll buy it and be like, what do they call that when a stock is just like trash? I don't know. The Dodgers are trying the same thing. They're having Pride Night and they're having the most disgusting group of people kind of come in, like completely evil people. You know what? I'm not judging. I'm just saying, like, we're all sinners, okay? I get that. The thing is, this is what I don't understand. Wait, I think I wrote a little piece about this. Oh, yeah, I did. Here, let me just read this. Pride Night. I notice a lot of backlash for support, or shall I say, excessive pandering to the lettered community. I don't understand why companies keep doing it. Bud Light paid the price. Target, I think Walmart is suffering from something they did. And now the Dodgers, the Major League Baseball team, is stuck in a conundrum. They made a really big deal out of their Pride Night for the handful of lettered humans that actually would attend a game. Like, honest to God, I don't know how many, you know, LGBTQA plus whatevers would go to a Dodgers game. But I can 100% guarantee you it's not more than 10% of the population. Like, I got a feeling it's a hell of a lot less, even in Southern California. But they decide to have a Pride Night. Like, you know, this, we're going to, you know, we're open to everybody. Like, why can't we just be open to everybody? Like, you're not open to everybody when you specifically call out one group and say, we're going to have a whatever night. You know, let's have alien night. And I don't mean the illegal type crossing the border. I'm talking about the ones that fly in from other galaxies or star systems or whatever. Why do we even have to have that? The thing is that every little piece of this is just a tiny piece of the population as a whole. Just have a freaking night at the ball game and have fun. We don't care who you are or what you do. We don't care what your sin is. You don't have to broadcast it. Let me read on to whatever I wrote earlier. They made a really big deal out of their Pride Night for the handful of lettered humans that actually would attend the game. and the backlash was immediate. But when they pulled away from the devil-worshipping group they booked, essentially canceling them, the letterers, you know, the lettered community complained, and the Dodgers crumbled. It will be interesting to see what happens there. I noticed during a game I was watching, the Milwaukee Brewers game, there was a poster, like a posted advertisement in the background. I just happened to catch it. And it said that some Pride Night was coming up. So it said Pride Night, you know, on this little poster. It wasn't like the camera was focused in on it. The camera was focused in on a player. And I happened to see it in the background. I was like, oh, well, yeah, Milwaukee or Major League Baseball is probably pushing this. So everybody has to have a Pride Night, right? Just to make people who are in the Pride community feel like they can come to a game. Like, I don't know, maybe they didn't think they could go to a game before, but now, you know, you have to specifically spell it out for them that, you know, yeah, you're welcome here. See, I don't mean to get ugly or anything, but so are people who are in the lettered community, are they just stupid? Are they so stupid that they don't understand they can just go to a baseball game? Like, they don't need a special invitation. They don't need to only come on a night that's set aside for them. Anyway, now I have no idea why we have to label people and give certain groups recognition for sinning a certain way. We're all sinners, but most of us don't want to have a day to celebrate our certain sins. Like, I certainly wouldn't want to be called out on mine. It always reminds me of Jesus when the men had accused the adulteress of committing sin, and Jesus kneeled down and was drawing in the dirt as he asked those men that whoever had not sinned to cast the first stone. And I always think to myself, what do you think Jesus was drawing in the sand? And I've heard somebody say, I think they thought maybe Jesus was drawing symbols that each one of those men would identify as one of their sins. You could imagine today if Jesus was, you know, if the same thing happened, there was a group of men around and Jesus kneeled down to draw symbols in the dirt and he wrote like room 104, you know, Holiday Inn, you know, or whatever. You know, whatever it was, you know, Jesus knew and he called those men out and those men parted one by one as none of them were willing to cast the first stone. Anyway, for a society who wants everyone to be treated, that may be true too. For a society who wants everyone to be treated equally, we sure don't want to let up on the labels and just let everyone do their thing. Somehow, for some reason, those currently in power want to glorify those behaviors. Yeah, and it continues to get worse, man, all the time. You know, you see it everywhere. And we don't really need it. I mean, we really don't need it. We really need to drop the labeling. Really, that's what we need to do. But you know that the political parties just won't accept that. They won't allow that. Because it's what keeps them in business. It's what keeps them going, is to have, number one, slaves that are enslaved to them. I mean, what's the craziest thing about this debt negotiation going on is that one political party wants there to be a work requirement to get benefits, and the other political party is like, oh, no, we don't want any work requirement for these people to get benefits. It's almost like they don't want people to understand that they don't have to be enslaved to the government, that they don't have to only accept what the government has to dole out. I mean, if you're in these situations, and trust me, I've been on this, I understand the system. I provided care to that system, especially if you look at the Indian Health Service being on a reservation and seeing what kind of care I'm allowed to provide to people who are enslaved to the system. You know, they're getting benefits. God forbid we call them benefits. Jesus, it's embarrassing. You know, and think about this. So if you're part of that system, And let me transition this back. If you're part of that system, you basically are saying, yep, I'll take whatever I can get and nothing more. You know, I don't know how many times people in the system that I was in before, you would tell them, hey, you need a crown on this tooth. And they're like, oh, is that covered by my insurance? No, but you need a crown on this tooth. It's not going to survive without a crown. Yeah, I can't afford it. Like, instead of saying, okay, man, I want to save this tooth, and if a crown is going to give by me 10, 15, 20 years, I'm all for it. They're like, oh, no, if the insurance pays to take it out, take it out. And just think about this. Insurances are going to pay to take out your teeth. You know why? Because once it's gone, it's no longer a problem. And I mean, $90, $100, $200 to extract it versus $400 to $600 for a filling, $1,000 for a crown, $1,000 for a root canal, and then $200 to take it out, they're going to go for the taking it out, and they're not going to cover all that other stuff. It's up to you to save your own teeth. But people who are in the system, I mean, they're just like, I'll just settle for whatever the government, you know, has to dish out for me. And you know what's the embarrassing thing is? Ocasio-Cortez, I forgot her first name, she actually was saying this week, like, when is the last time anybody ever said the government does plenty enough for me? And I was thinking to myself, are you kidding me? Do you know how many people in this country want the government to do nothing for them? Like, just stay away, like, get away, stay away, don't be involved in my life whatsoever, and we'll both get along just fine. Oh. But, you know, we're kind of heading to that point. Let's look at our time. Oh, we got plenty of time. Oh, my God. This hour cruise. This is the fastest hour on Rumble. I'm going to start saying that now. This is the fastest hour on Rumble. We'll just see if we can make anybody mad. Get some attention. God dang it. What was I saying? Talking about the government. Oh, yeah. So we're just heading to this place where the government is just going to provide everything. And thank God there's just a tiny bit of relief right here while the smallest contingent of politicians are trying to hold the government accountable and rein in some spending. Good Lord, man. I mean, so the Dems have had their, you know, free-for-all for 2 years at least. And, I mean, out of control how much. You know, they have freaking money out there that they printed up and dished out that hasn't even been spent from COVID yet. And God, do I have a ton of things to say about COVID, but I don't know if I'm going to do Wednesday shows anymore. I really don't. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm in this transition period, man, where I'm just having fun. I like doing the homestead. And there's, I'm not kidding, there's some crazy changes coming to the homestead. But let me cover some of that right now because we didn't, and I should. We got, what, 5-6 minutes? Sorry, I clapped my hands right on the mic. So, we bought the tiller for the John Deere. We tilled the hell out of the soil. We've made such great changes to that soil over the last years that we've been putting in gardens. But now it's like serious, man. Now we're like seriously growing food that we can eat throughout the year. We're committed to growing food and producing food off of this land. So, yeah, we tilled the hell out of it. It's planted. That all happened in the last week, 2 weeks, you know. Not really. There's been starts going on in the greenhouse. The hydroponic unit's going in the greenhouse. Things have been, you know, being put together here for months, weeks and months. And now they're ended up in the garden. And we're almost done planting the garden. And we're installing kind of a automatic watering system that's really going to conserve a lot of water and make sure that we get just enough water where it needs to be and the plants are big and healthy and produce a lot of food. Holy hell, the fruit trees blossomed this year. That little apple tree that produced, I don't know how many, probably it had to have been 30 or 40 5-gallon buckets off that 3 or 4-year-old apple tree. That, and last year it didn't produce one single apple. This year, there's a bajillion apples on that tree. So it's going to do really good. The cherry trees are doing, pretty much every fruit tree, except we lost one, is doing good. The medicinal plants, the comfrey patch is gigantic. The mullein plants, we have so many mullein plants. It's actually kind of hilarious because, you know, I'm like the plant fairy out there sprinkling mullein seeds off of the stalk, you know, during the fall or fall of last year after the flowers had, you know, finished blossoming and there was some seed and I'm just sprinkling it wherever. And holy hell, there's mullein plants all over the place there. And I mean, we have a hibiscus and we have dandelion. We have all kinds of medicinal plants here and they're all doing really well. And that's awesome, you know, that we have stuff that we don't have to rely on, you know, the pharmaceutical companies to provide us fake toxic drugs to keep us healthy and alive. And that's going really good. The bees are busy. The freaking chickens, we had a little setback this week. You guys know I talked about some naturally born chicks. And they did really good up until like the last couple days. And I don't know, one of the domestic cats that we have, it wasn't Pebbles, but one of the other cats started taking the chicks. And there's like, I think 4 are missing. So there was one of those natural born chicks left. And the funny thing is that, you know, they were tiny for, you know, the first few weeks and then they got bigger and now they were kind of like not game hen size, but kind of, you know, getting to be, have some weight on them and stuff. And damn, cats took them. And I mean, we found remnants. So we know it wasn't a bobcat or a fox or a coyote because they would have taken it and run. It wasn't a hawk or a falcon or anything like that. We would have seen and heard all that ruckus going on because we've seen it before. The parts were left like right near the front of the house. So we know that it was, you know, something domestic. And we actually had kind of seen, oh, now I see a 4.1% frame rate drop. CPU is still cool though. 4% CPU isn't working hard at all. But yeah, my kilobods per second, that's what's going to kill me live. I might have to call that crappy company and just get a wire put up here just for the show. Nope. I doubt that I'll do that. Maybe what I'll do, I'll just record the show and then play it like it's live. That'd be funny as hell. That would be funny. But I wouldn't be able to respond to the, you know, chat. I don't know. Anyway, let's see. What else updates from the homestead here? God dang it. Where to go? Up here. The guineas. The guineas are doing awesome. All 15 of the guineas that survived, the one from the first batch and the 14 from the second batch, they're doing awesome. They look like guineas, guinea fowl. They're starting to get out and about and explore kind of around the chicken coop, outside of the coop a little bit. So that's good because, you know, they're going to be eating ticks and fleas and taking care of business. So I'm digging that. And they're all healthy and it seems like everybody is just going to be fine. Oh, thank you for the input. Oh, good. Yeah, I know. I'm kind of watching it. It's just an experiment today. But anyway, the guineas are doing great. Uh-oh. Let's see. Oh, we only have a few seconds before the music's going to come on. So I'd like to say thank you for joining me, for listening. Thanks for downloading the podcast. Thanks for everything. I mean, this is just something I do for fun. I hope to share a little knowledge and, you know, share the adventure that we're on together. And believe me, it is going to get bigger and better. It's kind of crazy what's coming up. But thanks for listening. I'll catch you guys at least next Saturday. See you next time on Right on the Left Coast Podcast. Thank you for listening.